Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and I'm so excited to finally have Patty Larson, brand strategist, in the studio with me today. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Bart. Thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
Sure. And before I do your full introduction, I've been thinking about what kind of brand strategy could you do for Paul?
now we're getting somewhere. This show's about me today here.
Patty, again, I've been waiting anxiously to have you on the show. We've been working together for a long time. You've done such a great thing for my brand. But a little background for the audience about Patty. She's a 10-year-old marketing brand strategy firm in Orange County called SunUp Group.
She's only 10 years old? You said she's a 10-year-old strategist here.
Thanks, Paul, for calling me up. She has a 10-year-old company, marketing company.
Considering I have an 8-year-old daughter, yeah. That would be weird.
And I'm going to go away from the age of Patty. She's a member of the Center Club Board of Governors. We share that position together. And she's vice chair of the Center Club. I'm going to start over. Vice chair of Center Club Orange County. Active board member of Courageous Voice. Vice chair of Encore Advisory Committee 1OC. And a 15-year corporate American career running a $14-plus million P&L with over 350 employees under her management. But the most impressive to me, and the question I need to ask you, as a farm girl from Minnesota, did you learn your branding from cattle?
I did. My father taught me cattle branding well.
Well, we can't wait to learn much, much, much more about that. So, why don't we just kind of get into the basics? I'll just get started. You ready?
All right, let's go.
All right, Patty, so I've got a question for you. So what is branding, and why do you feel a corporation, nonprofit, or business professional needs to pay attention to it?
Great question. It's interesting because we all hear terms that are thrown around regarding branding. And one of the most common thing when we speak of brands, I hear people say, oh, yeah, my logo is this. And right away that they look at their brand as their visual identity. And while that's a key component of your brand, that's only one small piece. The other term we hear, and it's more of a recent term, is it's my story. And there again, your story is very important, and that is a piece of your brand. But what I like to think of your brand is it's your reputation. It's the reputation of from your customer's perspective, from your colleague's perspective, from your prospect's perspective. And that reputation is formed by experiences. So it's how they've experienced you as a customer or as a competitor
right. That
then equates to your brand.
Yeah. And I know you'll get into this a little bit later, but I constantly think about kind of the process that you and I went through. And how nerve-wracking it was for me, especially, I mean, there was certainly the whole process wasn't, but the concept of you, with my permission, contacting several of my clients and strategic partners and asking them their perception of who I am and what I am and what my brand is, and then your process of pulling that information together and helping to evolve really what we are using for me.
Yeah, and I remember that, Bart. I remember how nervous you were.
Yeah.
But that's normal because guess what? There's some full transparency, and now you're talking about your authentic self and, you know, the process that we call is strategic discovery.
Yeah.
And I think Paul mentioned earlier that's interesting of how do we arrive at our brand? And it's you got to constantly reflect and constantly go through a strategic discovery process because it's evolving.
Yeah.
And to talk to, you know, your clients like we did for you, to talk to your board members, to talk to your employees.
Yeah.
And it's awesome if you can talk to prospects.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Patty, you and your firm have always been adamant about building intentional, relevant, and cohesive brands. In fact, you've said this a lot, often use the phrase, I refuse to put a lipstick on a pig. And so what do you mean by this, and why is it such an important motto for you?
I would say that is the phrase that most of my clients and colleagues would say. You could be famous for this phrase. So, mind you, I don't think you're a pig, Bart.
You're so kind.
But no, what we mean by that is, and truly, throughout, you know, 20 plus years of branding and marketing, I've been adamant that we're not just going to slap a logo on you, and or just trust that what you say, the widget that you make the best is true. And that's why we take you through the strategic discovery process that we talked about. Mm-hmm. We want to understand, you might believe something true about your brand, and that's great. Go with it to some degree, but you need to validate that through understanding what your customers and, again, employees. So rather than just slapping on an identity, you need to go through a discovery process and then pull all of that information together. The other piece that's really revealing there is that you will find market opportunities based on reviewing your competitors and hearing what they believe true about you.
Yeah.
And immediately now you can kind of navigate your unique differentiation.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so another mantra I hear you say a lot is be intentional with your brand. You do say that a lot too. So what do you mean by that?
Wow, I must repeat myself a lot. What I mean by that is that your brand, so we all have a reputation. It will be formed with or without you attempting to do it intentionally.
Paul, don't worry, we're not going to talk about yours.
But, you know, so the point is do you want your angry customers to create your brand? Do you want your competitors to pigeonhole you for something that's not true? No. You need to be intentional and consistent and make sure it's relevant and innovative.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. I get this question a lot. I don't know why, but this, you're the one to answer this, is why isn't a nice-looking website and a tagline good enough?
Do you think it was ever good enough? Was there a point you actually thought it was good enough?
Almost. In a very simplistic, you know, from a simplistic point
of view. I hate to admit it, Bart. I lived those eras. That's all we needed. A brand was a logo and a tagline. We were in business and a color scheme.
Right? Before that was a business card and a one-page brochure,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Right.
Or a fold, trifold?
No, in your defense, both of you, it is true. I think there are a lot of, it used to be a lot easier to hide behind your logo. You know, I think what has happened is that the way marketing and social media and the web has evolved, there needs to be transparency. And so you can no longer have something that doesn't speak to the experience that customers have when they buy a product or they come to you for a certain service. So the difference is, and I will say absolutely 100% no, it is not just about the logo or the web page.
Yeah.
And I think we were a little misled even 30 years ago thinking that was true, but it's even in today's, with the transparency that's evolved over marketing, it's impossible.
Yeah.
You will be found out.
Yeah.
It might work for a one-off sale,
right?
But that's it.
Right, right. All right, so let's move into some real-world experience. And I know you've been working with the Center Club, and their membership has increased by, we said, 1,000 members, I think?
Yeah, they just, very exciting, because,
yeah,
you know, it's up and down, but now they are over 1,000 members, which has been a big goal for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then the Center Club Cares has had a great year this year, right, with their event and their fundraising.
Right.
Okay. So what tips can you share that will help other organizations achieve similar growth?
They were a very interesting, and they still are a client of ours, but about 5 years ago, we, the Center Club board, a couple board members approached myself and said that they really wanted to take a look at who their ideal audience was. So they had a lot of founding members, a little bit of an older member group, similar to some others in the area, and really wanted to think, how can we attract more of the young movers and shakers, the business professionals in Orange County? We know there are a ton of them. So they hired SunUp Group, and I led the project where we took them through a whole, again, strategic discovery. It was really fun because we were able to interview all the board members as well as about 20 other members and then some folks that had left and found out why they left.
Oh, interesting.
And probably the most revealing piece was when we went to businesses in less than a 5 mile radius of Center Club in Costa Mesa, and interviewed them to better understand what they believed true about that. So what came out of this really was about a 4 to 5 month process, was a revealing report of, look, one, some of the businesses closest to you don't know you exist. Mm. And if they do, they think you're just a social club.
Okay.
And you have two different kinds of audiences, and you need to offer different events and services for the younger business owners versus the older members. So giving them that feedback and kind of repositioning, one, their look and feel, but also their marketing strategy and how they met the message, really.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they convey to the current members, but also prospective members, to attract that crowd that they wanted to.
Yeah.
And so what also came out of that project was the board and longstanding members wanted to get more involved in the community. And thus, Center Club Cares.
Oh, that was a product of that.
That was a product of that. And so that's been, you know, just a little over 4 years and really has grown. And the idea is to attract nonprofits to the club.
Yeah.
And also take the members out into the nonprofit community.
Yeah.
Plus, it's an extension of the brand.
Right. So that's clearly a project that you launch in the beginning, like the research and the discovery and so forth. And you've been working with them for all these years. I imagine that the scope of the work changes over that time period?
Absolutely. It evolves. So you typically start out with the discovery, and then, like with you, we build a brand foundation.
Okay, yeah. I was just like, oh, what are we doing with me, silly? So, it's kind of the same thing.
And then it converts into, you know, strategic marketing. So you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do you, whether it's through your email marketing, we support you with that, whether it's your social marketing, whether it's, you know. But I think the key to all that is you always have to have a brand strategy that moves.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. What can be perceived as how different our businesses are, but there's still some commonalities, because for me and at OptiVest, it's the financial plan, and then everything evolves around that, and the plan may change or evolve with the client, but the recommendations are always based off of the plan. So it's very similar in your business, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's a good analogy.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so you work with me. I'm a wealth advisor, but how would, like, let's say someone's a CPA or they're an attorney, how does the brand infect the lead generation?
So I think, and I consider myself a professional services, and both Paul and Bart, you're in a professional services business, so are CPAs, attorneys. And in my opinion, it is one of the most difficult, most competitive businesses that you can be in, because there are so many folks in our space. And so, and we've all had, you know, online. We all have opportunities for people to go online and inquire or send us a lead, free consultation, whatever it might be. And so it's really important that we have a brand that is what I like to call a 360.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you're meeting someone face-to-face in a meeting, you need to have that same message that you convey. You need to make sure that you have kind of the same look and feel as you would online or offline. And I think by being having a 360 brand, you will be genuine, you will establish trust and authority online, and you will receive fewer and fewer spammy junk leads.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, frankly, Google will send the people, the company, the business that they believe they can trust and have authority. And what that means, and good news for SunUp Group, is they've finally come full circle and said they are going to reward strong, cohesive brands. And so it used to be you could do all kinds of funky things on your website, like keyword stuff. Remember that?
Yeah.
Or you put all the cities on the bottom of your web page just to track. That no longer works. Because Google recognized that, hey, you got some SEO folks out there that are crooked.
Yeah.
You know, they're using tactics. So it's even more critical for professional services to have their local SEO brand online very clean and have all marks cohesive.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a job security for you, a certain degree, right? That changes all the time.
And then, you know, thankfully, 10 years ago, I was preaching that. And frankly, I was preaching it because it was how I got business. But no, I believed it so strongly.
Yeah.
And now it's come to fruition, which is awesome.
I mean, it seems like every year we do our kind of our major review, and your partner, Eric, it changes. Like, well, this was important last year, and now it's not always night and day, but there's no, we have to tilt towards this because this is more important. No more keywords. It's, you know, affiliations or whatever the case is, but super, super interesting.
Yeah, and you really have to, like, you have partners that you can trust.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's so important that if you can have a long-time relationship with a brand firm, whether it's us or somebody else, it makes a world of difference.
Right, right. So speaking of that, we love stories here, storytelling. So what are some, like, historical brand lessons that our audience can learn from?
Yeah, so well, we talked about kind of the keyword stuffing, right?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to me, but I guess a brand story. So Sears, have we all heard that they just went out of business?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good story from, I mean, not a good story for them, obviously, but, and I love Sears, by the way, because I grew up with a Sears catalog organ.
Oh, yeah.
But the brand story is that they did not do a good job of evolving. You know, they've stayed true to what they were good at maybe 30 years ago.
They were the Amazon.
They were the Amazon.
30 or 40 years ago.
They were the Amazon. Yeah. And you just can't stand still in the brand world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Google, you know, they've got such a powerful brand, but they weren't always the biggest. Yahoo.
I was going to say Yahoo was the biggest search before, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So again, it just you got to stay relevant, and you got to innovate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important.
And they're not necessarily the best. I'm not saying that Google's better than Yahoo or the other. I can't tell you technically, but I think there's other examples, like in technology, right? Like Word versus WordPerfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, WordPerfect, for every attorney listening, that they were the bomb.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember I used to get so frustrated when my attorney clients would send it over in WordPerfect because I couldn't figure out how to open it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the Microsoft Word,
it
has not always been the biggest or the best.
The best, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about QuadroPro? Do you remember QuadroPro?
Yeah, it was like a spreadsheet, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And they were big. But so again, yes, you want to be true and you want to be good and the experience has to be solid.
Yeah.
But to your point about Google, it doesn't mean that they're absolutely the best.
Right.
But what they have done is they've been creative, mm-hmm. innovative, and they've always stayed kind of ahead of the curve and being relevant.
Yeah.
You know, and they've done an awesome job with partners.
Yeah.
They don't let anybody else. If you get in their space, they partner with you.
Yeah.
So
these are like more historical brand lessons. Do you have any, like, you don't have to mention company names, but anything you have like more personal experience with?
As far as?
Either companies that stayed relevant and done well and have done well and or just did not and they had watched them not do as well.
So one of my favorite stories and is a client of ours that's in the engineering space, and they went through a huge acquisition.
Okay.
So they, when they first were, we were brought in to do kind of the due diligence at the front end to see what companies would make sense, would be an extension of their brand, and would be a good fit, both monetarily, but also from a branding perspective. Yeah. And so, I mean, how exciting not is that to look at engineering, right? but what was exciting, and this is, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but it's personal to me because it was such a fun process, is you try and, so five different companies that they were looking at, I spent a lot of time with the presidents and the CEOs and the CFOs kind of interviewing and better understanding and talking to the employees, right?
Yeah.
So once they picked the four companies that they were going to acquire, and we're going through that process. Then they had to bring all those egos into a room and take them through kind of the process of how you get on the same page. Well, so kind of for me, it was a 2-year process.
Yeah.
So you got to know them really well and spend a lot of time. And at the beginning of it, there was such a difference of opinions and so many egos so much ego at the table.
Yeah.
And what happened was, by the end of the process of taking them through and really validating and building out a whole new kind of brand strategy and positioning, they could have picked me up and said, she's a jolly good fellow. I mean, they were so happy at the end of the process, which that's not to toot my horn, but just to say, I was pulling my hair out so bad at the beginning and almost said, you know what? I got to wipe my. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not good for my team, right? And but I think the story and all of that is that you feel strongly about your brand. It's your baby. You put your stake in the ground. But at the end of it, if you're willing to play in the same sandbox with others while owning your unique specialization, it will catapult your business to the next level. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but
it's kind of a great. You started to kind of think of talk about this, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. So does Google even care about my brand and why?
Yes, they do care about your brand.
Yeah.
And they care about your brand in such, and we know this because we've all heard of Google Analytics and Google Search Console.
Yeah.
Google Analytics is what the analytics show when somebody comes to your site. Google Search Console will show what they do prior to arriving.
Oh, prior. Okay.
Yes. So Google Analytics, you can pull and you can show. So we can see we can review your analytics, and I'm 100% sure that they're on top of all of it.
Yeah.
And we know that they reward companies, they will send you more traffic. They will move you up on the rankings if, in fact, you have strong content. So they love content development. Bart, that's why we're always doing your blog, white papers and things like that.
Right.
Content, but it's got to be relevant. Mm-hmm. If they, so for example, when you do like Google Places or you do any local citations, they will want to validate that you're legitimate, where they, you know how you have to pick up the phone and answer and they send you a code and all of that.
Okay.
So it didn't used to be that you could fool Google.
Yeah.
And today, it's absolutely not true. And don't try it.
Yeah.
And they're not very forgiving. You know, once you do something and they catch it, it takes a while to kind of earn, get back in their good graces. Yeah.
And is that all, is that a bot program, or is it actually a human being making those decisions from Google?
Great question. And that's for Paul's next interview.
I'm waiting breathlessly to hear the answer to this one.
You know, can we phone a friend and maybe we can get Eric on the
problem.
Phone? He would
know. All right. Good to know.
You know what? So much of it, we do a lot of this on different shows here. And two quick answers just from my perspective, sitting here all day long listening to people talk about that question. One is, it's secret. They don't want to tell you exactly how they do these things, because the minute they do, you try and figure out how to fool, like we used to do with keyword stuffing, you know, free money, and we'd put it in everywhere just so it would pop up. But I think what the point that she's saying is, it's all content now. People aren't looking for your business or my business or her business. They're looking for an answer to a problem. And if you provide the content, Google will reward you for that and move you up. So the more content you create, I think that's the key to it.
Yeah, Paul, you got a good point. And I think that's how they want to see us as thought leaders in our respective area. And
they're looking for relevant returns, not just the sites that get the most hits, but the ones that will fit that question the best.
Yeah.
You're hired.
All right, we've talked a lot of more kind of historic and current, but what do you see about brand and marketing going into 2019, Patty?
So I've mentioned a couple of times the need for transparency, and that's not going away. I think it, you know, you have all of these reputation sites where people can report good or bad experiences.
Yeah.
Those are going to increase. And so you need in my opinion, brand authenticity will be even more important. And, you know, again, that comes through, you've heard me say, humanize your brand.
Yeah.
So people want to do business with humans.
Yeah.
And while you have to have a strong company and products and services to support that, they want to know who's the human, who's the Oz behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as we've talked about at length about the personal branding side, if you can walk the talk about what you do personally, whether it's you're passionate about philanthropy or fitness or fashion or, you know, something else, and get out in front of that and let it complement and take your business to the next level, that is going to be more, even more important in 2019. Predictive analytics. And you've heard this, and actually we talked about this a little bit last week with your business. How do you measure so that you can monetize?
Exactly.
And, you know, again, there are so many tools. I feel bad for business professionals that don't have a marketing or branding team because as a professional, you have so much to worry about, and now you have to understand how to read and review predictive analytics. So it's an absolute must, and you certainly want to make sure that you have measures in place. Now, unfortunately, your brand reputation is a little bit more subjective, but that is why we suggest at the very least every 2 years you go through kind of a strategic branding process because then you get that subjective information that again becomes predictive analytics.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of the SaaS marketing model, right?
Sure.
Okay.
It's software as a service. We have to define all acronyms.
Okay. Okay. There we go. Software as a service. But the idea of SaaS, the SaaS model, is that people want to buy in smaller increments. So, for example, a subscription. They want to pay monthly and potentially longer term. They want to pay it and try it. The other important aspect that we're going to see a lot of in 2019 is we are going to be required as a business to give things away. Give free information, give people tips how to solve problems, and don't be afraid that you're giving too much away.
Okay. All right, we are racing to the end, but I want to get one more thing because I think this is so great. Can you quickly give us an example or two of like messaging misalignment?
So I'll give you one big one that we see often. People try to be everything to all audiences. And over again, I see the value. If you can contract your brand, if you know that ultra high net worth is your best client, they have certain buying preferences, they have certain pain points, and stay within that messaging structure. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest one we see is that people try to message for small, large, black, white, all of the above. Don't do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've been working on that a lot. So the other thing, you know, I was grinning that whole time about the personal branding because it's a bit controversial at Optivest, the route that you and I are taking together, adding some of the more personal branding of who I am. But it is, as you say, humanizing, and I don't know, I think it's paying off.
I think it's been a game changer for you, Bart.
All right, Patty. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you in the studio today. And you know I have the honor of asking the final thought question. So please share with us your ultimate lesson learned over your career as a branding professional.
The ultimate lesson that I've learned is really you need to not stand still. And you need to constantly innovate. It doesn't matter if you're professional services. Doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit, which we do a lot of work with, you need to constantly be forward thinking and thinking about where you want your brand to go and grow. But don't be afraid to be creative and innovate.
All right. I love that. That's perfect. All right. Patty, thanks again for being in the studio today. And for those who want to learn more about Patty, they can reach you by or at.
Go to website of www.sunupgroup.com, or you can reach me directly at, this is
Bat-line.
Special information, 949-525-5602, and I would love to hear questions.
Great. Well, we're definitely going to have you back because I had so many more questions. So if you don't mind, can I bring you back in a couple months?
Would love that.
All right, great. All right, thanks so much, everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in studio again next week. Cheers.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.